Welcome all honourable members, Deputy Minister, in our midst, and the Chairperson of the SABC Board, and all other members that are accompanying the Chairperson. This is a follow-up meeting with SABC Board, following the meeting of the 13th of November. So, really, we hope even the presentation that has been made before, they still said. But for today, But I wanted to say the presentations which will be made today should really talk to issues which were raised by honourable members. Which were of great cause for concern, and the previous document was prepared differently, not talking to many issues that they raised, which is understandable. But so today, I hope we'll be able to hit the nail on the head and allow honourable members to respond to the presentation. I don't know, Chair, whether the proposal is viable so that you introduce the members and make a decision as to who is familiar with all the slides, who would know what to emphasize, as I'm saying, just in response to the questions that were raised. And then the other members will assist then after the honourable members. Okay.
I'm coming. Thank you, Chairperson, Deputy Minister, honourable members of the committee, SABC colleagues, members of the media, receive my greetings. With me today, I have two members of the board, non-execs, Ms. Mhuwa, who are sitting next to me. Next to him is the CEO, whom you are all familiar with, the CFO, and John Matheson, who is also a member of the SABC board, and then behind we've got our colleagues that manage the Cape Town office. The purpose really of today is informed by the brief that we were given. We are requested to provide more details on the cost-cutting measures. We are also requested to give scenarios that we have looked at and explored, the alternatives, and the options that we have looked at before arriving on engaging on Section 189. That was the brief that was given to us. The second part, we were requested also to provide an update on the engagement that we've had with the unions. So we've only had one meeting, I just want to emphasize that. We've only had one meeting with the organized labor. That meeting took place on the 13th of November. Actually, on the same day we were here, the meeting with organized labor was in progress in Johannesburg. So in that area, there's about four meetings that have been agreed that will take place, but we've only had one. The next one is scheduled, I think, for the 12th and the 13th. So there's no much detail, as we had explained, that the process of consultation is the one that will give more details in terms of how are we going to mitigate or minimize the impact, the criteria of people that will be affected, the timeline, and so forth. So that will come out of that consultation process that is currently in progress. So basically, that's the brief we are responding to, and that's how we prepared our presentation. So the CFO, Yolandi, will take us through the details around the cost-cutting and scenarios, and then just a high-level update on the Section 189 will then be covered by the group CEO. I would want to hand over to the CFO to start with the first part. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Madam Chairperson, honourable members, committee members, and the Deputy Minister. We were requested to present some further detail on cost containment measures, alternative options and interventions, and saving items, and I'll be dealing with those two bullets in the presentation that's been shared with you. I am on slide number five. From the finance department specifically, finance plays an important role in making numbers available and transparent to the organization and driving the change as far as financial management is concerned. Thus, we, the finance team, has specifically been focusing on three themes and will do so until the end of the year: cost containment, operational efficiencies and working capital, and compliance. What we are doing, it started with a revision of the way the organization budgets. We have worked extensively on a budgeting framework and engagements with our business units, and have interrogated extensively the numbers that we should be seeing probably in January and February for the first time at this committee shortly thereafter. And part of that is specific attention around cost items. We call it a deep dive into these areas. Finance is often the mirror of the organization. Based on their professional abilities, they are supposed to question, interrogate. So we are working with the business units in the course of that deep dive. And we, part one of the items that will be coming out is what we call a cost allocation model. It all, these things also respond to certain of our AG findings. And all of it is designed to ensure financial numbers that we are comfortable speaks to the strategy of the organization and that deals with the environment, both internal and external, that we're faced with. If you consider the theme of operational efficiencies, a number of actions are ongoing, from process automation, the SAP system specifically empowers the organization to streamline business processes. In the course of that streamlining, you look at things like automation. It's easier processes to follow, which means you have a lot of efficiencies that come available, not necessarily in rands and cents, but certainly in time. That the contribution of my financial system, SAP in this case, is important to empower the organization to understand its environment. We are streamlining financial manuals. There's a number of policies that's been developed. A part of the problem is also that the policies have been neglected for a very long time. As such, it doesn't necessarily reflect the time of that we are operating in. And merely by updating these policies, you are able to secure efficiencies, streamline business processes, and ultimately that results in savings, in this case not only in time, but certainly in money. You look at policies that speak to specifically the IT environment, mobile communication, 3G, those kind of things. Tremendous opportunities to maximize rand and cents in those cases, and specifically something we're targeting. Also, to empower the organization to be more responsive to its environment, more visibility, more real-time information, the finance team is developing a KPI dashboard. You then have, on working capital and compliance, financial modeling in the business, as I've already reflected, is receiving attention, and by now you know we are aggressively focusing on addressing our AG findings and to a plan of action to interrogate and deal with our irregular fruits and wastefuls. On the next slide, the financial sustainability specifically we translate into a few themes. You either reduce your cost or you grow your revenue, and we have targeted both of these items. So we intend to optimize employee costs, increase efficiencies in freelancer costs, target a cost reduction in this case between about 80 and 100 million on the operational cost specifically. I will flag the items that I'm referring to here. And then we need to grow our revenue by about 500 million. And with a combination of these items, we believe we are on the road towards financial sustainability. It sees then that your net cash generation is improved. Investment must take place wisely, but it is also supplemented by a culture in the organization. If I then touch on cost-saving measures specifically, what we use here is the audited financial statements of the 2018 year. I will talk you through a few of the themes and what the view is on how one approaches these themes in terms of cost-saving or then optimization. So the total cost base in that financial year, and you can see it on slide 8, is the 7.2 billion rand. You can see the various elements that makes up the 7.2 billion rand, and the majority of it being in the amortization of program film and sports rights and employee cost. And if while I'm on this slide, if I spoke about the operational expenditure, and I'm going to elaborate more in a second, I speak about marketing costs, professional and consulting fees, and other expenses. So those bunch added together is about 743 million in this case. So if you look at where you reduce, where you optimize, where you cut, and you look at in the context of our income statement, a few themes pop out. If you look at content costs that we spent on program film and sports rights, that's the amortization line item. That is the programs you see on TV every day. It's in a web programs as well as our sports rights, and the amortization is how we account for the utilization of that asset over a period of time. Unfortunately, when you are not investing in these items, the impact is felt 6 to 18 to 24 months later in the organization, when we don't have inventory, as I call it, and we need to revert to a repeat strategy. I reflect here on the 24% of the cost base that content makes up. I think indications are that investment should be nearer to 40 to 50%. But when we don't have money to invest with our limited resources, because it's one of our big cost drivers, that's an item that gets targeted. To give you an idea, in recent months where we are supposed to spend about 140 million per month on these content costs, it has been cut to as little as 60 million in some months as a result of our limited resources. And the consequences will be that we are unable to present innovative, attractive, creative and competitive program and sports rights, sports eventually. Broadcast and distribution cost supports the broadcasting we do on our 5 TV stations and our 19 radio stations. The broadcast cost specifically has a direct correlation with your revenue, so it is currently reducing as well because of the fact that we look at how we do production differently, in the sense that we applied what we call a shared services mindset. We pool resources, so all your radio stations will be making use of the same individuals for a specific event, for example. We do what we call dipping in and out, so we don't attend events for the full time anymore. We really just, literally, in my understanding, broadcast for a specific few minutes, etc., and then come back later again. And all of that sees that we not only optimize the specific cost, but we certainly reduce it. The distribution is our signaling network. There's an audit of that network ongoing. And we hope to ensure that it is maximized in terms of where the audience share is, but all the time, of course, bearing in mind the mandate that we have. The employment cost, it is a big item. It makes up 43% of the cost base in that specific year. Currently, it is in this year forecast to be 2.9 billion rand. The investment in capital, we average and can execute about 350 million per annum. To give you an idea of how we have curtailed a cost, we are reverting to maintenance, etc., where we can afford it. The investment this year will be as little as 114 million only. So we are certainly far behind. I think our infrastructure, and I believe you were given some examples previously, really shows its age, and we are unable to maintain it to a state that sometimes even jeopardizes us from a legislative perspective. Revenue collection and marketing, again, these items generate revenue. They're not the kind of cost that you, let me put it this way, investment that you necessarily want to cut, because if you cut it, it's got an impact on your revenue line item. Marketing specifically, yes, you cut on promotional material and those kind of things, but if it's about marketing our programs, our facilities in the broadcasting corporation, there's a return of investment that you are not going to have, and as such, you actually it comes at a bigger cost than merely just the fact that you didn't invest. But operational expenditure, which is about 10% of the cost base in that year, and is forecast to be about 13% in...
Sorry.
Thanks, Chair. No, Chair, I welcome the presentation. It's just that if you could take us along, I believe we are still on the cutting measures. And then as we go through scenarios, we also indicate, you know, that then takes us in the mood, because it was like, okay, then say just the guidance on that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Did you get the comment?
I hope so. I will try, but please feel free to guide me.
Okay, then. Go ahead. people.
So yes, I'm still on slide 7. So maybe part of the problem is that I sort of speak about the item and then what we're doing about it. So forgive me, I will try to be more structured in the way I present it. So I was at operational expenditure, which is a line item, as my call out there says, it is the ideal opportunity that presents you with options to maximize and optimize, and we are certainly doing it. So if you look at what should a savings target be, on your OPEX line, that item 2.6 specifically, if you were to start from a zero base, you can be as aggressive as between 10 and 20% per annum. It is based on the experience I've had in the past. In this specific case, if you look at the previous financial year, because we've already had to cut tremendously, that number percentage becomes a different kind of number because your baselines aren't comparable. But yes, in future years you then start realizing it, and ultimately it should become a way of living. I'm not going to touch on slide 9 again. If you get to slide 9 speaks to a number of the things that I've actually used the opportunity on slide 7 to talk about. So amortization, we are busy with an audit of our content production facilities are going to be assessed for optimal use. We do try to implement financial performance measures in our business cases, whether we are acquiring productions or when we are acquiring sports rights. All of it is designed to ensure that we may be able to return to financial sustainability. I've touched the impairment of program film and sports rights, the second line item, that is typically as a result of scripts that were abandoned, episodes and sporting events that could not be covered. It is not an ideal number on your balance sheet, on your income statement, and as such, one of the things that we're doing there is we're enhancing contract management and the service level agreements that goes with it to ensure that we do not need to do these kind of amortization. Next line item, amortization of intangible assets in this case, and a little bit further down you see depreciation. That speaks to our capital investments. As I've mentioned, we are currently spending just about half of what we should be spending in these line items, and hence you can see the little bit of upside that there are. We've looked at all our capital projects. I'm on the fourth bullet or call out. And have assessed them in terms of content strategy, alignment to the corporate strategy, business optimization, risk, etc., to ensure that we really just invest in critical matters given our financial constraints. Marketing costs, mentioned that cost drivers typically should generate revenue or realize the return on investment, but you do not want to spend necessarily on promotional materials. Direct revenue collection cost, it is related to revenue generation, but again, you have an opportunity and a duty to ensure that the contracts that support these items are actively executed and duly so. But professional and consulting fees, other expenditures, the two items there below each other, those are that OPEX cost that I referred to before, and in that call-out you can see the kind of things that we are doing, implementing National Treasury cost containment note policies and procedures that I referred to before. We are supporting it from a supply chain perspective, intelligent printing, energy savings, and those kind of things, and a myriad of other items as well. I'm moving on to slide number 10, and really just again to summarize what you've seen by now and how I've touched on it.
Honorable members, we need guidance.
Chair, I don't know how long we time will we begin, but I can see the presentation is quite detailed. I'm sure our worry as members is to have enough time to engage with the briefing. I don't know. I can see the presenter is elaborating detail, which it helps us, of course. Nothing else. It helps us to understand, but. but to me is too much. It's going to, if they can find a way to highlight those areas, and at least some of the areas we can were able to reach.
Honorable member, you remember that's the guidance I gave quite early. I said we're together on the 13th, and honorable members raised pointed questions. So one would have really expected that the response will be to those questions. If there's any elaboration, it could be a word or two, but next to critical questions. Because if we keep on telling a storyline, then we don't give honorable members to guide. We tick a box. We were called in parliament, we went, box is ticked. But we're not really getting to where the process is supposed to go. I don't know, honorable members, whether we want to give them a chance to finish quickly in line with what you are saying, responding specifically to important issues which were raised, and then you come in. Do you want to?
Yes, Chair, I agree. We don't want to be taken through what new information we already know. So can we be given the new information that we didn't have last 2 weeks ago? So the issues we raised last time was, one, how are you going to cut costs beyond cutting biscuits and printing? Two, we asked about the audits. And three, Honorable Bongo and other committee members spoke about a broad strategic plan about changing the SABC. So those are the three issues that need to be spoken to. The minutiae about finances, that's not what we ask for. We ask for very, very simple and specific issues. It's a long presentation. Time will be up and we won't have time to engage. So can they please just target those issues that you spoke about and not go into the minor details? We've gone through this. This is our time now. What we asked for specific information, can we get that specific information requested?
Chair, I think basically members are also in line. I was just checking with management also what they wrote. Apparently when they were inviting, they specifically made reference to the consent of the committee. So can we move forward having those specifics in mind? I'm sure the SABC also team are familiar with the questions that were raised, which were not detailed in the previous report. And I assume they've taken some time to reflect on those questions.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. I'm going to request the CEO maybe to start going straight to the questions that we ask. The letter that we got is the one that I started with, that detailed what you wanted, but the CEO will just take us through the specifics that you want.
Mr. CEO, just from a time management point of view, because that was clearly made at the start of this, I hope you'll be able to choose the slides and you'll be able to come back if there are any other questions. I really don't want honorable members to feel that this session didn't help them to move the discussion forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, honorable members. This presentation is exactly the reflection of what the honorable members had asked. You had asked us to detail the cost-cutting measures that we've taken, which is incorporated here, the scenarios as well as the alternatives and the planning. So every single thing that is reflected here is in line also with the letter that we received from the committee. So what you really have here is exactly what was required of us. So in terms of the strategic plan, and that is being required, we presented that already on the 27th of September. So just to be guided, because what we really have there is exactly what was detailed. What I will try to do now is just to take you through some of these just quickly. If we go to under cost-cutting measures, slide 10, there we said one of the things we needed to do was to ensure that we optimize employee costs vis-a-vis revenue. And we've detailed that after all of the savings that we've been able to make in terms of cutting the programming and filming, if you look at marketing as well as consulting fees, year to date we've been able to get about 463, and we explained this, and we actually said we'd need to look at how do we then optimize employee costs. If you go to the next slide, we detail there in terms of expenditure to date, and the fact that we've saved 463 million, which is 12% below budget. There, in terms of all of the cost cutting that we've been able to do on slide 11, we looked at how we've reduced investment in terms of content, how we've also been able to cut marketing by about 15 million. We know that this is not ideal, but because of where we are, this is what we have to do. We've also been able to save costs from professional and consulting fees by about 22 million. And then other expenses year to date are lower than 120 million. In terms of alternatives, the first bit was in terms of how we need to save. We've shown that all of the savings that we've been able to do year to date are not sufficient enough to carry the organization forward. I was quite excited when Honorable Van Damme spoke about the need to inject funding into the SAPC using some of the monies that could be recouped. But I think one of the alternatives and the discussion we need to put on the table is the need to ensure that we get the guarantee, because then we can review all of these plans that we have, including retrenchment. Yolandi has already spoken about the deferral of CAPEX projects, and we want to ensure that investment in that regard continue. Content acquisition, this is one area, as you know, it's the lifeblood of the SAPC, but due to all of these financial constraints, we have had to significantly reduce that. Acquisition of sports rights and broadcasting of sporting events, we understand that this is a public mandate, but owing to all of the financial issues that we have had, we wanted to ensure that we use that quite significantly. Annual salary increases, our position was that there would not be any salary increase for 2018-2019, but in engaging with organized labor, we settled on a 5% increase for general employees, and this did not apply to directors. Then in terms of slide 15, in terms of alternatives and options, if you look at the application for government guarantee, we're still engaging, and we, as I was saying earlier on, this would really help us if we could have that financial injection. We've also tried borrowing the borrowing letter route. Unfortunately, owing to our status in terms of solvency, banks are not willing to take the risk of lending money to the SAPC. MTEF submissions, we've also gone this route in terms of the submissions that we've done, and they've been approved. And then the last bit there, this is where we had asked the committee to say TV license tariffs have been increased only 8 times over the past 28 years, and we've now applied for tariff increases, and these have been rejected. Then the issue of review of regulations, we've requested the committee to help us in this regard. And we know that ICASA will commence with these processes, but it will take longer because we need financial injection as soon as we can. In terms of the creditors as well as the payment arrangements that we have at the SAPC, we have said this before, we're standing at 101.4 billion in terms of trade and other payables. And this is one of the issues that we've been engaging with, making arrangements with them, and it's actually getting us into more debt. Then the last part there is alternative revenue sources. We're engaging with various entities to establish partnerships that can help us to increase our revenue. But also what we're doing, we're using the strength of Brand Equity in terms of our properties like Umhlobo Wenene or Ukhozi FM to partner with the retailers through merchandising. And this will also be a source of income going forward. So, Chairperson, those are the things that the committee had asked us to look into, the cost-cutting measures as well as the options. I don't know if I should go straight to the CCMA process quickly, or do I take that we can just engage in on questions rather than to take it through?
No, the reason why it might not be necessary to go to the CCMA process, Chair, I want to start with that one, is because in the light of the engagements we had last week, then the focus of your engagements at that level should have changed. And from what we are reading here, it's like it has been business as usual, despite the engagements we have made, despite the mandate that were given to you last week. Was it last week? Because our attitude has always been retrenchment will be the last option. But now going through the slides here, my worry is that we are in the process of outlining the process of retrenchment, which is a bit of a challenge, especially from my side. That's why I'm saying I'm starting with that one, because it might not be necessary to go to the CMA process. The page 9, slide 19, and that is the most worrying aspect of your presentation. The SABC has already embarked upon several cost-cutting measures, but there's simply no manner in which a complete organizational-wide restructuring and reduction of positions can be avoided. So to me, this paragraph nullifies everything that they've presented earlier. It means they have now arrived at a situation where whatever we can do, the only option that is on the table now is retrenchment. And that is the most worrying aspect from our side. That is the most critical aspect from our side. Because it says we can talk for 5 days, but already you have arrived at a conclusion which says this is the only option, which is very worrying. This is slide 19, Captain. And part of what they are saying is the issue of the TV license tariff increases. I don't remember what page was it, but you see there when it comes to that one. We have on a number of occasions made options on how best can this particular aspect be handled. But if you want to bring it back now as a solution to the challenge that we are faced with, you are not assisting us. You are not assisting the portfolio committee. So that's my worry, Chair. But let me pause for now and allow the members to come in. But all I'm saying is that the presentation is not, to me, is not assisting, because already there is a conclusion from their side to say there is no way they can go any other route except for testing, which is a problem. Thank you.
Well, the CEO have wanted to know whether is it necessary to go to discuss with the process that is the CCMA. But what I hear from Honourable Phil is that members are ready to engage based on what has been said. Of great concern is the position where the SABC put it categorically back to the committee to say, no matter what, the SABC has already embarked upon several cost-cutting measures, but there's simply no manner in which a complete organizational wide restructuring and reduction of position can be avoided. Regrettably contemplated. When it has been raised by the Honourable Member, and I really see it as a bold statement when there's an engagement process just to throw it back to public representatives, that no matter what, irrespective of what you think, this is where we stand. It's quite a strong statement. I wouldn't have approached this engagement in that manner. But so let's allow honorable members then to engage. Honorable Bongo, Honorable Fandam, Honorable Prof. Yeah, we stop with Prof.
Yeah, thank you very much, Chairperson.
The last? Yeah, the last. Okay. Honorable.
Yeah, thanks, Chair. I've just looked at the report. I think I agree with Honorable Singh, but the report is not addressing what we want as the portfolio committee. The report is still wanting in terms of what we want to deal with. And I would have expected, Chair, that maybe the content advisors would have given something like a framework within which they could have generally reported. Maybe to recap on what we requested was, we want a skills audit of the people who are in the SABC. Skills audit, who's there and what qualification and level of service. That was one. Two, we said they were speaking about issues of retrenchment, but they never put a moratorium on employing because they still continue to employ people. I've made an example about a legal advisor who's getting over 2 million an annum. And yet they have 18 legal advisors already in the institution who wanted to be assisted around those issues. What motivates? Because if you want to retrench, you must put a moratorium first. But you see, they are continuing to employ. And yet you have to come to get the government guarantee and so on. Because for you to get the government guarantee, you must do certain things in a certain way. And we said, then we need a picture here, three, a picture of, in the executive, what are we going to do? We want that picture. Who in the executive? Because we have requested also how much are they earning in the executive? Because we must also start the process of restructuring. Before we go to retrenchment, restructuring the amounts. These are exorbitant amounts that are earned by the people in the executive of SBC. We must start there. That's the process. We were going down that way. Then we were going to see what are the cars that we're dealing with. And then we said the issue of retrenchment must be avoided at all costs. We want them to come here and paint scenarios, one or two, three or four, five scenarios where we can make an intervention in terms of the scenarios. So the scenarios here, they're actually, it's like we're multiplying our own efforts by zero, because the scenario, they give you a scenario, but it's still telling that they were still going to retrench. We don't have. Four, Chair, we said, give us how much, if you want to retrench, how much are you going to spend? Because retrenchment is also expensive. You must pay out people. Where is that money going to come from?
Because if you're inside, you must create various packages and this, and that is expensive. How much is this going to cost? One tree that is not here. And we said, fine. If you go to Auckland Park, there are already notices there. A notice which was 29/10/2018, which is already scaring the staff that it is titled Notice of Possible Redundancy and Retrenchment. And we said that is not in line with Section 189, because Section 189 envisages that an operational requirement, if you're going to engage into a process. But the notices that are already there, already in saying retrenchment is going on. We said we were concerned about that. You see, we said, and now in the report is written, that the 72 cents per day was done many, many years ago. We said we are requesting you to provide what we call a strategic management direction of the board and the corporation strategy. Because they came here and tell us about the tissues that are not there and the biscuits, and we said we don't want issues about the biscuits, we want strategic issues. If you say sports rights, you must say they were engaging ICASA in terms of this, which we have also offered to engage ICASA. If you say we can't do this, you say how do you compensate? How do you compensate against the other issues, strategic issues? So the report is like is not giving us those issues. The report is not addressing strategic issues that you want to elevate, because you need to assist the corporation. And anyone who must give guarantee also will be worried about certain specific issues that you must raise. And finally, Chair, I have watched the engagement that we had with the board last week on the 18th. I saw it on SABC. We raised the crucial issues in the portfolio committee. When it appears on TV, it's only board members speaking. They're not raising what Parliament is saying about the issues. And that is bothering around censoring. And if that would be the case, I've seen that when they were in the committee, I've seen that when they were at SCOPE. And that is a major concern. It's a major concern if we were to be impartial as the corporation and we were to be independent. SCOPE must raise their issues and the public must see what is being raised by SCOPE, so that we are able to win both the support of the committee, Parliament, and the public in terms of the issues we are raising here. But what I'm seeing here, I'm seeing a ship that is going astray at the board level. And if they reach that point that they can't give the report that we want, they must be able to do what is honorable and tell committee that we have reached a ceiling. We can no longer do this work. Then we will have to take decisions as Parliament. What do we do with the board that does not want to report according to the way we prescribe they must report? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. I also have just two housekeeping issues before I go into the report. The issue raised by Honourable Bongo, the fact that the two times that the SABC appeared before Parliament, the broadcast of the news was only of you guys telling your story and not presenting your opposing view. I do not think any journalist at the SABC worth their salt would send to Auckland Park a package that does not include opposing views. The parliamentary journalists, they know how to cover Parliament. They know they present both sides of the argument. So for me, it smells like interference. It smells like someone said, hey, you must only show the management, you must only show the board, show what a terrible position we're in, do not show what Parliament is saying. So for me, I do not believe that the package sent from Cape Town, from the Parliament studio, would have not included what Parliament is saying. So for me, someone made a decision to remove what parliamentarians were saying and only present the board. So I would like an investigation of who made the call that opposing views, which is actually a violation of your own editorial code, because in every story you must give the opposing view. So it's not like it was difficult for you to get the opposing view. You had the package, you had the footage. You did not have to go find someone to present an opposing view. So who gave the instruction that only the SABC and its management must be shown on SABC News? There was interference, and we want to know who that was. Second issue, which has not been dealt with, Mr. Mahuba is here today. We have been told that the board will be investigating the issue regarding his the allegations that he got people to write his master's degree. We have not had any feedback, and he's here today. So what's the outcome of that investigation? Because we want only people on the board that are above reproach. So if there's someone on the board who falsified his thesis for his qualifications, he can't serve on that board. So you told us you're investigating that matter. Where is that matter now, so that we can take action as Parliament? And then in terms of the presentation, you're telling us the same thing. You've not told us using you. You've told us you've done cost cutting, and the only thing you need to do now is retrenchment. We were very clear. We said, come to us with a skills and salary audit. You have not brought that. You've brought the same presentation. We're not stupid. I don't know if people think members of Parliament are stupid or something. We're not stupid. This is the same presentation you've given. I said to you, conduct a salary and skills audit and then present to us and say, here's the skills audit. Here is where we are. We have too many legal advisors. Here we have shortages. Here the salaries are too high. There they are too low. And then because of this audit, this is on this basis we're going to retrench. We have not done that. So because you've not done that, you've not given us any reason to support retrenchment. So for me, you've not done the work that we asked you to do. We are not going to support retrenchment until you provide a full salary and skills audit. You're not just going to roll a gun and just say, douche, that person must go Russian roulette. You must be based on thorough facts. It must be based on an independent, thoroughly conducted skills and salary audit. If you've not done that, no support. We will not allow for SABC staff to lose their jobs in this current economy until you've done that. And then also, have you approached the Minister of Finance? What have your engagements been with the Minister of Finance? So those are the two issues that I'd like to tackle. So for me, this, don't talk to me until you've done a salary and skills audit. Until then, this is useless to me.
Maybe if I may just correct something, I don't even think members of Parliament, they bring opposing views. I really thought, you know, the value of a portfolio committee is to help entities to come to decisions that are defendable. Because, you know, if you look at all these commissions, State Capture, what, it emanates from the kind of parliament that doesn't question. So questioning is meant to assist the entity. It's not even opposition. It's not opposing anything. But they want to make sure that they are convinced and they support how you got there, the decisions you take. And so it has to be clarified so that the board sees the role of Parliament in its rightful perspective in terms of its obligation and responsibility.
Thank you, Chairperson. I come from an angle that says really retrenchment it should be the last resort. And I've looked into the cost-cutting measures, the attempts you have made to try and clarify your business model. And I've also looked at the last part of your presentation. Well, the sentence that says the retrenchment will go on, it's also followed by other information, which says there's still some negotiations that are going on, that will go on, the meetings that will come hereafter, as recommended by the commissioner. I therefore feel that the process is still going on, and you still have some meetings that are still coming to the fore. Well, there could be other issues that we need at the portfolio committee. For instance, we understand that if you are turning around the organization, because I believe you still have to come around with a broad turnaround strategy, this specifically talk to the cost-cutting measures, how we are going to streamline finance, coming with the finance, financial manual, etc., and other things. And I also understand that if you come up with that kind of a strategy for the enterprise, it must also talk to the human capital, the human resources that you have, whether you are satisfied that the people we have within the enterprise will be able to turn the organization around. That will then speak to the audit of your human capital. But I venture to say, Chairperson, we're talking about an enterprise which is in a crisis. And I've also alluded to the fact that the issue of retrenchment is not a favorable one. No one favors that. We're talking about an enterprise that may not be able to give the staff some salaries come next year, March or February. Now then the question is, what is it that can be done to ensure that they are able to step through the storm? And in my mind rings the issue of a guarantee, that we do need that guarantee to assist the enterprise to be able to step through. And of course, we take into cognizance all these other issues they are still going to bring to the fore, because they are trying by all means to turn the organization around. I think that space must be afforded, how we assist the board and the management to turn the organization around. I think that angle will assist us, because these are the issues that we spoke about. Starting from the inquiry up to now, we are seeing the organization that was not only on its knees, it was just on the floor. Now it must be picked up. There is a crisis before us, it must be picked up, put away the retrenchment. And how do we bring in the government guarantee to ensure that we don't have retrenchment and we are able, because we talk about the infrastructure here. They're going to cut on the infrastructure, technology, buildings. There will be wires there in the offices, and technology doesn't work. And then at the end of the day, the kind of the product that will be given will not be good. Somewhere, there must be money that must be come in, and it may not be accepted by all, but that kind of a guarantee to say the enterprise is able to swim through, to set the tide. I'm coming from that angle, Chairperson. I know there is work in progress, because the strategy must speak to the human capital and human resources. Do we really have the right human resources that be able to turn around the organization to speak to the plan? These are issues that are at stake for me. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. You will forgive me if I am a party pooper here, but there's a critical question here that we need to address. I think in the last meeting, one of the criticism of the SABC and its management was the fact that even then it seemed as if they had already taken a decision to retrench at all costs. It was like they were saying retrench, retrench at all costs, retrench. And as a result, they were able to come up with a presentation where they could quantify the figures and say, this is what it costs us, this is our cost optimization program. But the failure of that presentation was to stick precisely to these cost-cutting measures and quantify them. And we called them out for that, because we're saying the weakness then of your presentation is that it's monodimensional to a large extent. It focused on one issue. It did not focus on the cost-cutting measures that you've undertaken thus far. And when I look at, it's slide number 9, it seeks to give details around those cost-cutting measures, because then it qualifies the point in one of the slides where it says these cost-cutting measures are not enough. The only thing that should have happened maybe is to provide additional information which was required by MPs insofar as the skills audits and other issues are concerned. But from where I'm sitting, it seems like the conversation, the discussion around the turnaround strategy for the SABC, insofar as this presentation is concerned, is that it has been reset from one of cost-cutting to one of saying there's a need for recapitalization, even though it's not stated explicitly in the presentation itself. Then we'll be failing in our duties if we don't pick that up as MPs, right? It is unfortunate that at the same time you have a slide that says recapitalize because we are experiencing a cash flow problem, but in the same presentation you are saying we are going to retrench, we're still going to retrench at all costs. However, insofar as that is concerned, I think I should take instead what the CEO said in his remarks when he was trying to prepare the presentation, where he said I don't want to quote him, but he was saying in essence that if retrenchments are an issue, then we should look at different ways of funding the business, right? So in my view, that's completely discussed the other slide. But I think if the discussion has been reset to say, from retrenchment is recapitalization, that is the discussion we should be having. And that is how we should be taking the process forward. So that then those who have the means and the ability to recapitalize the business are able to have that discussion. Otherwise, we are going to go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth without any resolution in sight. And remember, as we go back and forth, Chairperson, the downside of this whole thing is that there are people there who have no certainty about their future. Workers who don't know whether they are still going to be retrenched, whether there will be monies in future to be able to pay for their salaries, while we are going back and forth on this issue. If the mandate from this committee must be clear, I know we're going to elections, so we don't want to talk about retrenchments because we're going to elections, maybe some of us. But if we don't want them to retrench people, we must just make it clear so that in future when presentations are made, they focus on this recapitalization issue. But we can't be going back and forth and say retrenchment, don't retrench, and then we say skills audit, which is fine, I understand. But the implied message when we say that is that you must still continue and retrench. Because once you've done the audit, you must come to us and tell us what you have and then what is in surplus or redundant. And then we say, get rid of it. So we must be able to say, are we saying recapitalization? If that's the point, we move forward along those lines and then we discuss details around that. Over and above that, we add the information that honorable members are requesting, but we can't be keeping going back and forth on the same issue. I wanted to interrogate this slide because whether we like it or not, if you run a business, at some point you are going to talk about petty, practical and operational issues when it comes to cost-cutting measures. Right? That is unavoidable. People say, tell us what measures you've undertaken so far to try to cut costs. Ultimately, you are going to be forced to talk about biscuits, unfortunately. About water, because that's what I do as a chief within Parliament in my own operations. The first thing I look at all my variable expenses. And my cost-cutting measures will start there because there's nothing you can do with your fixed costs in the short to medium term, right? So if the discussion is to say, reset, we're not talking about retrenchments, we must make that very clear as politicians. Very, very clear. And not you speak on the both sides of your mouth. You see, in it sounds very wrong in English, but so we must be clear so that at least when we are done with the meeting, we've provided not only leadership and direction to the executive and its board, But we've also done the same thing to the workers at SABC who are uncertain and unsure about their future, and put all of the other differences aside. I'm not going to go because I had points here up until slide 15. But in light of the direction that the discussions have taken, I don't think it's going to help us much. But I think it's important that at the very least, you've been able to quantify the cost-cutting measures that you've undertaken so far, because one of my criticisms and the criticisms of the committee in the last meeting was that while you were able to quantify what you'd be able to save in terms of retrenchments and whatever you want to do, you gave us a nominal figure of 463 million rand insofar as the cost-cutting measures are concerned, right? So those are issues. Other strategic issues and how we can help with them and so far would be clear once we know what we're doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
Honourable Kala.
Thank you, Chair, I agree with the last speaker on the issues. But I think here, Chair, more than the presentation, the elephant in the room is the very serious position in which the SABC is in financially. That's why. Which leads to creating a situation of uncertainty to the working force there. But I think where we are not sensitive, I'll direct this to the board colleagues, is the language we use even publicly when we talk about these matters. We talk as if this is not going to affect human beings. I don't know how in your discussions as the board, when you reflect on issues like this, do we have that sensitivity? I'm raising this, Chair, because of your statement you made on Sunday. You see, that statement, all the issues you raised there, those are issues of your discussions inside there, but you can raise, make a statement by the manner you raise them in the public domain. It gives, in fact, it's in a fighting mood with the people which you are supposed to be engaged with. Especially if you take the issues you raise there on round sports rights, SAFA, your problems you have with SAFA and others. Those issues are issues which you can raise in a language and inside internally within you where it's not going to reflect as if now you are taking stuff. Then worse still, even this question of a guarantee, you know, when you raise that and present it in Parliament, don't present it as if it looks, Chair, like it's a threat to parliamentarians. If you don't give us this guarantee, the SABC closes. The real of the matter, these parliamentarians here will know the situation. We know it for years. So, to me, I think the manner in which we deal with these issues, the sense that, because immediately you read a statement like that, you are working at SABC, morale goes down to people who will be working in there. And in fact, already you create an adversary situation between you and them. When they see the board, they say, no, these people, all they want is to retrench us. So I think that's what we must avoid. It's not, it's us, actually, who said to you, after all the problems which have happened there from 2015, 16, all until the inquiry, go and look at these areas. They're in the report. It's there in the public protector's report. We know those issues we raise. But the manner you are dealing with is very much important to be sensitive to human beings,
to the personnel inside there. Lastly, Chair, I want to advise the board. This thing of you guys, you are all on papers every time, meeting, issuing statements. You must issue statements on important issues which you are dealing with. Because you are creating a situation every time SABC is on media. That leadership and that board want to be seized with dealing with problems of the SABC to try to turn them around. You have been, let's comment, you have been addressing the issues directly, but I think that the manner and the form in which you try to tell us in the public that is what we are doing, that's what makes problems. You remember last time when some of the members said you are arrogant. Once you create that perception, you are going to get that. So to me, I think, Chair, where I wanted to start there, because the issue here is either Honorable Mwaga is correct. It's either here we want to save the SABC. What is the first thing? All of us, let's push for SABC to get this 3 billion. All of us. And government, by all means, must come to the party, Chair. We can't, just fold our arms and say an institution as big as it is and very important for the country, no, it just dies. We can't do that. But that depends on how the SABC leadership is perceived both by government and also the public out there. And Chair, I think the board thinks which you must not Deputy Minister. The board must leave these things also. You can't say, Chair, there's a political pressure. Because when you come here, we'll ask you which political pressure, which party is DA pressurizing you to do something, or is UDM, they are saying no. And I know they are capable of doing that. So you see, that's very important, because all of us will be just like vultures on you. What do you mean? So I think, Chair, that you see, handling those issues, it's very important when we deal with this issue, because to me, we either deal with this problem of recapitalization through you, Chair, Deputy Minister and Minister, and that question which was earlier asked here by Honorable Fanda, have you interfaces with Treasury? I know you did in the last meeting with you, actually alluded to what is happening. To me, that is very much important. And lastly, Chair, I think from now on, I think as a committee, we need that meeting with unions separately to go through with them and just get their views also, because they will tell us their interaction with the executive. And their suggestions maybe with the board. I think it's important that we meet them. But Chair, I wanted just to caution on those things. Because you know what is going to happen, Chair? Danish orders and your causes, they will be writing to you saying, look what is the SAPC saying. They might in fact, I suspect they might, if that is not on the pipeline already, one meeting with the sports committee there or with you concerning the utterances of the chairperson of the board, which were in the Sunday Times last week.
I'm saying this because some of them called me. Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Sibyl, then Honorable Sundam.
I think I agree with what Honorable Kalab was saying. And there might not even be any need for them to respond to the issue of race today. What we have noted now is that issues were raised in the past and they are not properly responded to as of now. We are therefore saying to them they must go back. Honorable Bongo earlier on reminded them about some of the issues that we have raised which were not properly captured. And in addition, part of what we are saying could be a solution, because it can't be only people at lower levels who must then suffer. Even at the level of the executives, there must be people who must then be able to assist and come in and assist us in the challenge that we are facing. Just one practical example will be, in the light of your challenges, why would you have a COO and a group, what do you call it? In the light of these challenges that we're faced with. Because this attitude of you only wanting people at lower levels to assist you to deal with the challenges that you are faced with is not right. We must then be able to change some of these things. So all I'm saying, Chair, is that I agree with Honorable Kalab. It's not, to me, it's not even necessary for them to try and come and try and respond to some of these issues. And going forward, really, Chair, there might be a need for them to go back to the unions and change their approach. Because it can't be right that every time you meet and when you go back, it's business as usual. You go back and continue with processes of retrenchment as if we did not say anything. It's not right. Going back this time around, we expect them to change their approach and then try and attend to the issues that we have raised. Honorable Kwakwa says it's like we are not sure what is that we want. It's not correct. We know what we want. We are not supporting retrenchment. That's our position. We know what we want. We know what we want. We're saying the portfolio committee on communications is not for retrenchment. That's our position. So we're saying go back and attend to the issues that we have raised so that in the long run, this issue must be put aside. We are there to assist you in terms of bringing all the relevant partners. The ministers here were ready to bring in National Treasure, as Honorable Kalapa has indicated, and meet with them and see how best can we deal with some of these issues. But the bottom line here is that we are not in support of retrenchment. And going back, they must then be able to assist us and not continuously go and proceed with the process as it is business as usual when we are raising business issues every time we meet with them. Thanks.
Chairperson, can I just correct one thing if I may please? I did not say that the committee does not know what it wants. What I said is that if we're saying we're against retrenchments, then it means we're pro something else. And that something else, if we're pro it, it must be recapitalization. If we're saying recapitalization is what we're in favor of, then let's say that. If we're saying we're against one thing, then we must at least be pro something else. That helps to try and find a solution to the problem. That's all I'm saying. And I even said, Chairperson, with your indulgence, that indeed there are a number of other issues that members of Parliament and this committee raised which have not been answered to. It's important that the executive and the board deals with those issues. I quoted Honorable Van Damme, I quoted Honorable Bongo around some of the issues they raised specifically. The only thing I did was to acknowledge an area where I felt that they answered it properly around cost-cutting measures, because we said, Chairperson, the problem was that they were not approaching or dealing with this retrenchment question as a last resort. They had not demonstrated to us that they've undertaken other cost-cutting measures before coming to retrenchment as a decision. That's all I was saying. Thank you.
Honorable Sandam.
Thanks, Chair. I think Honorable Galako raised a very important point, and I would like to support him in it. We've heard from the SABC management, we've heard from the board several times, but we are public representatives, and we've not heard from the SABC staff. They may have other ideas about how to cut costs and how to save the organization. So I think we need to hear from the staff through the union representatives. I think we have, next week is the last week of Parliament, and it's possible for us to have a meeting next week. So I think it's important to hear from the people, because it's people, it's not just numbers. It's not just we need to cut the wage bill, as if the wage bill does not include human beings. We have bills to pay, we have mouths to feed. So I think those are the people we need to now hear from, because they might very well have ideas that the management doesn't have on how to better cut costs, because they are there in the coal face. They've worked in this organization for many, many years. The management is new, the board is new. We might hear some new ideas. So I would like to support Honorable Galako in saying, next week, can we please hear from the SABC staff? And I think our position is very clear. We said that we will not support retrenchment until we are given a proper audit. I think that's at least where I lie, Honorable Gwango. I want to be given that information first. If I'm not given that information, I don't understand why you retrench it. I need that information. So I just wanted to support Honorable Galako in that next week, can we please hear from the unions? Can we hear from the people who this is affecting? Thanks, Chair.
No, Chair, I think I'll just be brief. Chair, as the portfolio, we don't have a meeting whereby it was arrived at the decision to retrench or briefed to understand, agree or support. We said, let us understand what can be done for this not to happen. If it must happen, it may be coming as a very, very last resort. But when everything is done and we have seen, and if that information is not there, then we don't have any move, any briefing of the process of retrenchment. We don't have that. So if SABC is doing that, we don't understand what it's doing, because we don't understand. We think, you know, just one in closing, just one example, here in Parliament, our processes, even our employees had challenges around staff and so on. Then through our WIPARI and Parliament had to make some plans. We are eating water in our meetings of some study group. No food, no transport, all money went to workers. I wish you could be saying that so that there isn't any process to redress. So where is the executive in applying its skills that you are employed for?
Honorable members, I didn't see Honorable Machoka. We gone past 1 o'clock.
No, Chair, it was my problem. I was raising my hand wrong. But I won't go back to what I was going to write. I think, Chair, let us agree that the department must go back, the SABC. so that you can also, as a members, as a portfolio committee, see the time frame of having the right report. I want also to propose that we must go to Johannesburg so that we can reduce the cost for them to come here. So we must go there, and I will propose that by next week we must be in Joburg to the unions. Chairperson. Okay, thank you, Chair. Because I see you are busy talking with your.
Thank you very much. Actually, I was checking what happened to our request last, because that's exactly what we have requested, to hold this meeting in Gauteng so as to allow the unions and different groups to interact. Apparently, it was turned down. That's what he's saying. So much as we can go back if the committee feels strongly that it's important to sit close to the sitting there at SABC, but we will be advised as soon as possible. Honorable members, you know, we've been on this issue of the CCMA and the retrenchment, and I don't know what difficulty will emanate from the board retracting the letter to staff to start with. Because in my understanding, even the CCMA process will actually, it has just been a technical agreement of what it happened. It's coming up, the actual process will unfold sometime next year. So this letter is really, really a big elephant in the room. It's causing a lot of anxiety, and while processes are going on, it doesn't talk to Ubuntu Betu Kahle, you know, the human element to this matter. Nobody can deny that sometimes companies, it's inevitable for companies to reach there. The difficulty is when, you know, the briefings, they put the end product ahead and almost push everybody against the wall. And it becomes the board issue without a backing of all key stakeholders. So it is a big problem, as far as I understand. You know, with regard to a bailout letter, during the last interaction with the board, we did indicate that there are procedures that have to be followed. If the minister submits a CAB memo, a cabinet colleague, they don't just say yes or no. They have to be guided by the facts in terms of numbers and everything that you say to get to that. It has happened with many of them, the SAA and many entities. In our case, we even said sometimes portfolio committees, they soften the plain level by meeting, having a joint meeting. But last, we said we don't have that kind of information that is crisp and talking to a decision as to how we get there. So maybe the posture of the SABC really is delaying important work. There's no way in which we could ask for a portfolio committee on finance to meet with us, because we didn't have a clear direction in terms of how the board has got there. With regard to the issue that was raised, I think it was raised by Honorable Fandam. I really also was worried that if we've got this kind of a public broadcaster which is able to, in a meeting like this, portray just a small, you know, a small aspect of a conversation, then we are sitting with a big problem. We are sitting with a serious problem. The gains which, following the select committee, we thought we have made can easily be lost. The faith and the confidence in the structure. Because anyone who was here, when you saw what was portrayed, it was a completely different meeting. Initially, I thought they are reflecting on the board meeting they've held before coming to us. But later, time and again, I went back, I went online. Clearly, it was talking to what transpired here. And everybody started talking. I will be equally curious to know what kind of instructions were given and by whom and how do you frame those, because it means the information that is out there is, you know, is censored, distorted, because it's a serious distortion. If we have a conversation and choose what I write about, I mean, it's unacceptable. It's wrong. It's not in line with the ethics, the values we cherish. Creating an information society is a serious commitment and a mandate of the country that you take. And you can't afford to have people who are driving the creation of an information society and not honorable enough to be fair in portraying issues as they were debated. You don't have to agree with everything. The public will analyze for themselves. So it's a new culture which is equally problematic. Much as the Select Special Committee had a problem with the poor governance and corruption, that is a serious problem as well. So I don't know. The team will work very hard to explore this thing of meeting with the unions as soon as possible. We still, I was saying to him, maybe they must start off by asking that the committee goes to, the committee has requested to go to Gauteng, given the fact that there might be more than one union that they interact with. And I'm hoping that we will get permission this side. But it's definitely, it is a priority at this point in time, because it's one critical stakeholder that we must interact with. With regard to further assistance from the board as to how we engage another portfolio committee, the Portfolio Committee on Finance, that will be appreciated, because otherwise we are not able to do our work when we are still raising questions. When we go forward, we need to be guided by facts and convictions that this, you know, this number, it came about from this one, it came, the costing even of the 3 billion that we are talking about. It will help us a lot so that we do our work. And I mean, I've seen online statements like, if the ANC is serious, they must support this or something. Yeah, and some of those things are really unfortunate, because we put each other across the wall. We have the same agenda of rescuing this entity. But there are things that we must all do technical things that must be done so that whatever we say is honorable. We don't expect other people to buy into our minds and our thinking, but they must look at what we are presenting and endorse what they can defend even in our absence. And I think that's where the board is missing a point. And sometimes going around canvassing this person, it's a waste of time. If there's a letter from Parliament, it takes a day before there's a decision whether to respond. And quite a number of people will be phoning me in terms of, yeah, but why this, why the SABC? I think we must be professional and really do things in a smart way. This is delaying all of us. We're not moving forward. We are stuck. And the board, I will give you an opportunity at the end. And this is not good enough for all of us, I must say. The performance for me is the least expected at this level. Thank you very much. I will then give the Honourable Deputy Minister an opportunity to reflect.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm sorry I raised my hand before you finished. I thought you were done so that I'm able to check whether the summary I gave captures what a true reflection of what members were saying. Firstly, I will, of course, Honourable Chair, you are aware the Minister is in another meeting of the Portfolio Committee on Telecoms because the two meetings were taking place at the same time, and that side there are amendments of some other sections in the law that governs telecoms. Just to say to Honourable Members, and I think this is my second experience on engagement with the committee over the SABC. My first experience was with SCOPA. Now this is my second experience on the capturing or not capturing the right information and responding not accordingly as expected by Parliament. I want to apologize for that, Honourable Chair. I take full responsibility as a shareholder with regard to that. Of course, I have the letter that you wrote on the 22nd of November that speaks to cost-cutting scenarios, alternatives, and other things. But from the spirit of this meeting, there were pointers that Honourable Members spoke to that the SABC has not responded to. Chair, I take it that members are saying retrenchment must be the last option. Two, the turnaround strategy that we presented to Parliament earlier on must be able to show cost-cutting measures, look at employee costs versus revenue. It must look at the skills audit versus and the salary audit. We must look at broadly the wage bill. And we must look at possible retrenchment versus new appointments. And why not the moratorium? That's what members are saying. But members are also saying, currently we have executives, they have various roles. Look at those roles, look at their salaries, and check whether they speak to each other. That's what members are saying. PCC also says, if you are talking retrenchment, do you have money currently to pay for severance packages? That's what you're saying as well. And then there's a notice which we'll follow up on, which is in Auckland Park offices, which also speaks about the issues around retrenchment. So I have clubbed issues of retrenchment the way members we're talking to. Now, the second issue, Honorable Chair, speaks to the guarantee. And we think until we are able to put a scenario on the table, and that argument will then be able to assist us even when we approach Treasury. So the approach we must do from here is for us to bring the AG, the Auditor General, sit with National Treasury, look at all these things, and then through them, because it doesn't mean that we must engage AG only when he deals with your audit. Even on issues that you think you want the AG to be on board on, even proactively, sit with the AG and National Treasury, look at your scenarios, and then be able to have a scientific approach towards that. So that's one of the things that one will canvass and recommend to the minister. I think the other issue that we must also be able to present is the regulatory framework. What are the challenges that we have currently as the SABC that disadvantages us to be able to deal with other things? Because we must present a scenario that will also assist us to respond broadly to other things. So we look at that, the must carry regulations, the sports rights, without being confrontational, we're doing introspection and then we present that scenario and then we're able to see how best, together with the portfolio committee, we're able to take each other through. Let's look at the issue of TV licenses. What is it that we can recommend to the committee? And how do we want to go forward? And looking at it, whatever options, let's also present without saying we want to increase or decrease or whatever. We'll then be able to say, if we do this, this is how much revenue can be able to raise, and this is how we think we'll be able to deal with it. So I'm taking all those things to the minister. The other issue, which I think is very unfortunate, of course, I've not been around. I've not even seen our presentation to SCOPA. So I'll go back as a referral just to see whether there's balanced reporting. That's what you are also looking at. Balanced reporting when the SABC appears in Parliament. Whether there's censoring, whether there's what, we must also be able to come back and talk to you. The other important issue is report back to the PCC around the issue of Mr. Mukhuba, which we'll also bring back to you. Of course, there has been some engagement with the Minister of Finance, with the previous minister, but I think we'll take the process forward. And even before we go there, from what transpired between the committee and the SABC, we must first find our house in order, so that by the time we present a case to the minister, we know that it's a solid case and then it can be able to be taken care of. The recapitalization issue and all other issues. We'll talk amongst ourselves, of course, and appeal to the board members that issues of retrenchment very emotive issues, so we should be sensitive. I don't know what members saw, and I don't know what the board members may have said, but it's like the committee saying, even when we report on those things in the public platform, we are not sensitive to the unintended consequences that this might bring. So it's a challenge that we have, but as we deal with that, let's tread carefully. That's what members are saying. We welcome the issue that members will be on their own as part of their oversight, meet with the unions and make sure that they are able to get the other side of the story. I think in summary, Chair, these are the things that I captured, and this is how I'll be briefing the minister. And then we apologize for miscommunication on behalf of the board, and like I said, I take full responsibility. So we will be able to deal with all these things and report accordingly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Deputy Minister. And indeed, we really appreciate your commitment. The only part I don't like is tabling to the minister. In my view, you are here. You know this thing of a minister's responsibility, deputy minister's responsibility as members of the portfolio committee.
Yes, that's
but I'm happy that you commit to be a champion of these issues, because the risk is a delay caused by unavailability or not understanding. So I think you are in par with the thinking of the committee. That is really appreciated. We will also continue to assist as much as we can. Whenever you are not able to attend, I hope your PLOs also attend. If there's anything they are not sure about, the management committee is always accessible to them, because we have the same agenda. Honorable members, thank you very much. Honorable board members, thank you very much. Members of the media and executives from entities affiliated to the SABC, thank you very much for coming today. Thank you.